So Brad, with all of that said, can you now talk about what the Bible has to say about the New Covenant?
Well, in a nutshell, the New Covenant comes from the Tanakh of the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, verse 31. It's also repeated in Hebrews chapter 8 when it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." So the New Covenant is made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, his people at the time who were divided and scattered throughout the nations among the Gentiles. And he says, "I will make a new one." Now, that word new there in Hebrew is chadash, is the same word that's used to describe the moon when we have a new moon. It's actually a renewing of a covenant. Why? Because his people broke their covenant with him. And so he prophesied that he was going to renew it. So when Yeshua, or Jesus, was at the Passover, he lifted up the cup, if you remember, and he said, "This is that new covenant in my blood." And so the new covenant, which Jesus clearly was referring to, Yeshua, is made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, because those are the ones that scattered among the nations. And it was prophesied that when he went to get them back out, multitudes of Gentiles would join themselves with them.
So the new covenant is to the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and there will be a multitude of Gentiles with them. And you know, Brad, when people think of the law and the Torah and the commandments and even the Old Testament, oftentimes the thought is we're not under those things. We're not under the law. We're under grace and we're in the new covenant. But can you clarify that though?
Well, there was a renewing of the covenant. The original covenant, the old covenant, was founded on the blood of bulls and goats. They went to a temple, they had a priesthood, they offered up a sacrifice. And that was founded upon that. The difference, of course, is that there's now, in the first century, not going to be a temple anymore, so there will be no priesthood and there will be no sacrifice. By the way, this is what the entire book of Hebrews is about. It's not whether you should keep the festivals and the Sabbath and the moral behavior and things like that that are in the scriptures. It's about what it was founded upon, a temple, priesthood, and a sacrifice. But those things are going to come down in 70 AD. So the scriptures teach you still have a foundation for the renewing of this covenant, and that is that Yeshua is the temple, he is the priesthood, and he is the sacrifice.
So Jesus, Yeshua, is the perfect sacrifice. And obviously, Brad, as you mentioned, some things in that first century changed. What we're going to talk about going forward are the things that have not changed. So the next topic is, who do the scriptures say that Israel is? Because many of us have always claimed the promises of the Old Testament, but when it comes to the Torah and the commandments, we think those are just for the Jews or for Israel.
Right.
So I'm very excited to talk about who is Israel and get some insight from you about that.
Yeah, I'm going to propose to you that what you're saying, Cole, in a nutshell, is that traditional Christianity today wants the inheritance, but they don't want the responsibility that goes with it. And that's the first thing that the enemy attacked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He first attacked the responsibility, "Hath God said," and then he appealed to the inheritance. Well, look what happens if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look what you get. And that pattern is consistent throughout Scripture as well.
Absolutely. That's awesome.